chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. You're probably already there, and you already know the context, so I don't have to spend all the time that I did this morning again. You right now know what's going on. We're going to look at these same 11 verses. I think just for the sake of all of us, let's look at those. We'll go through 12 verses like we did this morning again. Then Boaz went up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and unto him whom he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside and sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, that is come out again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech. And I thought it to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, "Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's and of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day." And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Pharez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." And I trust that God is going to bless this passage of Scripture this evening. You know, this story of Ruth is such a wonderful story. Probably one of the most dramatic stories, well-loved stories. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and, oh, I love the story of Ruth. And I love and some people love the uniting of the man and the woman and all that goes along with that. But I tell you, that's really superficial to all the depth of this wonderful story, the story of the kinsman redeemer, the picture to us of God's love in his again, like we talked about this morning, in his inconvenience to reach down and pick us up out of our distress and our struggle and to make us his very own bride. Isn't that amazing? And that's really the story that we want to get. You know, yes, Boaz had love for this Ruth, and Ruth came to love her husband, and they had a child. And yes, the wonderful story how God used them to bring about David, and of course the person of Jesus Christ. Tremendous things in this story that we can see. We've learned so much how a church ought to be as with our own people, and how to demonstrate true love, and that's giving of ourselves and even an inconvenience. You know, the story is so wonderful, and you've heard everything, and it just unfolds like that storybook, you know, how the bad things start, and then, you know, God turns it around, and now there's this man to take Ruth. And then we heard at the end of chapter 3 the devastating news that there was a near kinsman. You know, and if you didn't know the story, see, we are at a perspective that we already know the end of the story. And so that helps us because we know where everything's going. But can you imagine if you didn't know the story? If we were just reading a storybook and we read a story that was very similar to this, when you find out there's a nearer kinsman, what normally happens to our hearts? You think. Now, I'm making an analogy here of life. We have a nice scenario that we've built up in our minds of what ought to happen and how God is going to just, the miracle-working God is going to show up in my life and answer the needs. And I'm going to pray for it. And we pray. And then that very thing or that person is removed. And what happens to our hearts? They sink. God, this would have brought you the most glory. You ever prayed for something that you thought and you were determined, this is going to give God lots of glory. God, we know that you want this. God, this is, and you prayed for it and it didn't happen and you left. What's the matter? I asked the question with Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. And again, you know the end of the story. Pretend you don't. What about God's leading? Sometimes it seems like God is so silent. Have you ever received a promise from the Lord, a truth? You read something in the scriptures that gave you that encouragement to move forward and to keep praying or to go on. And the next day was quiet. And the following day was quiet. And the next day was quiet. Maybe to this very day, still silence. And I ask you the question, is God sleeping? Has he forgot? Is God working? And as I've brought to your attention, Abraham had received a promise. Remember the promise of a son? He was older in his life and God had promised him blessings way back. And as he grows older, he's like, God, okay, now God, you remember all the stuff that you said? He said, you're going to make a great nation that come out of me and you're going to bless them that bless me and curse them that curse me and all of this. And he goes through life and as he's getting older, he's saying, God, what are you going to do? Of course, he gives him a promise and says, your wife's going to have a son. And Abraham waits and waits and waits. And I would imagine, you know, if, again, we can't read anything in the scriptures. I don't know exactly Abraham's mind, but there is some leaning in the scriptures that Abraham wondered when this was going to happen. Years and years and years go by and silence, silence. Question, did God forget? Did God lose track with all the other people that were out there? All the other needs that he had to attend to? God, I'm over here. Did you forget me? Did God change his mind? No, Abraham, I promised that to you, but you've done some bad things, and so no more. When God is silent, oof. When God seems far away. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz came or spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one. Hey, brother, he says, come on, come over here. Turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Question, and I'm going to ask this question throughout the story. Is God leading here? Absolutely. You know, you think about it. You know what? Boaz had given his word already, didn't he, to Ruth? What did he say the night before or the few days before? What did he say? He says, go back. Go back home. And he says, do it quietly. Do it silently. Don't let anybody see you. Go back. And by the way, he said, take off your scarf or whatever. I'm going to fill this up. You guys, I'm sending you back home with plenty of provisions. But listen, as far as the big request in your life, I'm going to meet it. And then she goes home. And what did Naomi tell Ruth? And we learned about this last week or whenever it was. I lose track of the Sundays. What was the answer? Sit still. Remember that message? Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. One of the greatest things in Ruth. Sit still, my daughter. For the man will not sit, he will not rest until he bring it to pass. Oh man, what a lesson there. Just wait. He's going to be working on it. So Boaz, he gives his word. I'm going to do this. I'm gonna work on this. I'm at least go to this near kinsman. And as far as their perspective, it might have been this near kinsman that was going to have to do the redeeming. They really didn't know how it was going to turn out. Again, we do. We have a different perspective here. They did not know what was going to happen. But Naomi was convinced that God was going to do it, that Boaz was going to do his work. Okay, so we're reading here in verse 1. Is God's will being accomplished? Yes, because Boaz fulfills it. You know what? Boaz could have said, I'm going to take care of it. And the next day, you know, he might not have done anything. He might have waited. But you know what? Boaz is doing his work. He goes to the gate and he sits there. And then we have this near kinsman that comes by. Did this just happen by happenstance? Oh, we know in the life of Ruth, you know, even though the play on words are used there, you know, she, you know, to the field. No, God is leading, folks. Okay, so God is going to provide. Boaz says he would. Now Ruth goes home. Naomi says, don't worry. He's going to do it. And yet, the very next day. You know, isn't it a blessing when God works the next day? I love those days. We all pray for them. God, I have a need. You know, you've prayed for a need, and boom, before you even hardly let out of your mouth, there's the answer. We all love that, and we all wish that was always the way God works. And I'll tell you what, when he does, praise the Lord for it. We thank him. God, thank you for acting so speedily. Such right away. And sometimes that's God's mind. And here, so we see him leading, Boaz fulfilling his word, the kinsman coming by, and he says, come and stay. Did the kinsman have to stay? He didn't have to. Of course, it was part of God's plan, so he was going to stay. But you know, the kinsman could have said, no, I've got other business to do. And I'll tell you what, if he would have said that, God was still working. But you see God working here. All right, so is he leading so far? Answer, yes, he's leading. All right, let's go to verse 2. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. God's still leading? What's the answer? Yes, the elders of the city. What's the significance of the elders of the city? We kind of talked about it this morning. Okay, he needed to establish this witness. He needed to establish so that everybody knew what was going on. Boaz wasn't working some conniving behind the scenes to get some property, to get a wife, to get whatever that he wanted, you know, and anybody else to come along and say, now listen, you're doing this and you're not going according to the right customs or whatever. Boaz said, no, I don't want that. We're going to make sure and do it God's way. Is that God's leading? You know what? And as if you're Ruth or if you're in the situation, I would say, bang, there it is again. God is continuing to work. We're seeing him answer these requests. And again, I'm going to say this over and over again. When God answers, you need to say, praise the Lord. When you see it, we all love to see. We all love to see that. God's working in our lives. Okay, So through the situations, okay, the elders, now we've got a group of 10 men here. Wow, it's going just like clockwork. It's just going exactly as planned. God is leading. Verses 3 and 4, and he said unto the kinsmen, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, sell the parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. If thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. And as we're reading over this part, we're like, don't hear that part, okay? You need to do this. You know, we're kind of strategically making sure that, well, the scriptures aren't doing that, but we're trying to like, you know, I hope he doesn't even hear this. I don't want anything to mess up. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, what's he going to say? I will redeem it. Now again, I don't believe that Ruth is sitting there, you know, on the sidelines watching. But if you're Ruth there, you're thinking, oh no. Everything, every one of my plans. He said yes. Why? Why did God allow me to go to that field? Isn't that interesting? When something happens like that, that we start to go back. We start to go back to the things that God has given to us, and we start to question. Is it hitting home with you? I mean, I do this. I'm preaching to myself, brothers and sisters. What? Did I have it all wrong? Was I asking amiss? Is there something in my life? Oh, God. Why? Why did Boaz recognize me as the one that helped Naomi? And why did he give me so much? And it just seemed like God was leading so clearly. Every time I turned around, there was God's voice. Boaz said that he would. I mean, even, oh Lord, what a big thing for me to step out that night and to go to the field and to lay down next to Boaz and to take the blanket off of the corner of his feet there and to lay down there and to make such a bold request. And yet he said he would. God, everything is matching up that you were leading. And my own mother now tells me that you wait because God's going to do it. Tremendous encouragement because a parent seeing God's will. Young people, by the way, that's important. You're led through your parents. God's leading in your life. Oh, I tell you what. Honor your parents. I'm 42 and I still go to my parents about big decisions. What do you think? But even mother says, yes. This is God's working. God's going to do this. He's not going to rest until the answer is yes. Boaz is, the people in my life they're doing their things. Boaz did as he said. He didn't even wait. He's there this morning and there he is. And understand, I'm just giving you kind of like a side note narrative of what, you know, could have been. The near kinsman came by this morning. Wow. Isn't it neat when God brings people right along the path? And was God working in the kinsman? Was God using this kinsman that day? Did he know what time? Oh, it is amazing. Folks, God knows everything. He's omniscient. And so far, it's just like beautiful clockwork. And we're so excited. And God is so good. And we sing with all of our heart, God is so good. And he answers prayer. And we've got the faith and the strength, not of a mustard seed, but like a big old mountain. And then the kinsman says, I'll do it. And everything drops out. Question. Was God still leading? Now, don't just pay attention to the story of Ruth. I want you to be thinking in your own lives and in your own hearts and your situations. Question, is God still leading? Sit still, my daughter. He will not stop until he will have completed. He'll finish it. When God is silent, oh, it's tough. Folks, there are times when things happen in our lives. There's a time of silence. There's things that happen that in ways in which we don't expect. We didn't plan it that way. This was not supposed to happen. You take away this element and there's no way. Except for God. Again, Ruth is not sitting there, as far as I know, she's not sitting there listening to all this. And so I'm not saying that I'm putting you in this circumstance. What? What is going on? As a reader, we ask the question, if you didn't have never read Ruth before, you read there and you say, what? Three chapters of all of this for a near kinsman to come by and take Ruth away? Just doesn't seem right. This is not God's plan. God's plan is ruined. Is God still leading? An absolutely yes, He is. And we must understand that in our lives, that even when things there is an answer of no. It's a beautiful picture of God's lighthouse to us, saying, listen, I am here, just wait. You know what? When the no answers come, we've got to praise the Lord. We've got to stop and say, God, praise your name. I'm going to tell you something. It's not a bad thing when God does something that wasn't a part of your plan. It is a part of His plan. We've got to understand the God's perspective in this matter. He works all things together for good. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1. Why did the near kinsman say, I'll do it? Near kinsman, wrong answer. Let's rewind it. Say it again. Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God could use the words of this near kinsman. Yeah. Why did that person say no? This was part of my plan. And I had everything lined out, and here, this person with a little thing here disrupts everything that I was trying to do. Now what? That can't be part of God's plan. Folks, we need to understand something, that God works all things together for good. All things. And God has a reason why the answer was, why did the kin... Couldn't have God made a beautiful picture if the near kinsman said, no, I think you ought to do it, Boaz. God has a better plan for your life. But see, God uses real people in real life situations. Is God still leading? He is. We know that. We've got an easy perspective. Isn't it easy to have the answers for Ruth? Ruth, just settle down. We know. We know something more than you know. God's going to do it. Just wait till you get to the next couple verses. Just wait. But you know, sometimes we're Ruth sitting there and we just say, what's happening? What's going on? And if we could speak to our own selves, what would we say? Just wait. Just wait. God is still working. God's going to use that no answer. Just wait. Wait till you get to the end of the story. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. So God's still working. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Oh, we like, oh, okay. Still eating? Yeah, but why does Boaz say this? You know, why did Boaz go about it this way? I referred to that this morning. He mentions the land, but he doesn't mention Ruth. Was there a plan of Boaz? I don't know. I have read some that would suggest, and again, this is only human perspective, this is not God's perspective, that technically Ruth did not have to be purchased, that technically he could have got away with just purchasing the land. I don't know the truth of that. Some would believe that. Some have suggested that the law or the custom was of the land was the land, possessions, that maybe it was more of a locale thing that Ruth would come with? I don't know. There's other parts of Scripture that clearly indicate that Ruth should have been part of it as well. Is God still leading? However Boaz put it, he is. Verse 6, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right hand to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Still leading? Now we're back to positive thing. Yes, wow, isn't that neat? The answer we've all been hoping for and waiting for. In Ruth's circumstance, it was relatively quick. You know, and as an onlooker to this story, even that little bit of, there's a near kinsman. Ruth had to wait a night. Next part of the next day, it seems like. She gets the answer relatively quickly. Remember the story that I told you of Nehemiah? This morning. Tremendous story. And I don't know if you knew that it was Nehemiah that I was talking about in the beginning, but certainly there at the end it was Nehemiah. If you do a little bit of study, I went over this with the men in our prayer meeting yesterday, but when Nehemiah heard the news, it was in like a November, December time. Remember, he was in the court, palace of the king. He was there, he was serving, he had life made, he was doing really well there. And it was in November, December that he received the news from his brother and those other men from Jerusalem. It was in that time. And in chapter 1, we have Nehemiah. Obviously, did Nehemiah care about the situation in Jerusalem? He did. Because it says he wept, he cried out to the Lord, he struggled. Enough that the king, even later, recognized what's your situation here? What's going on? And by the way, that chapter 2 is forward about 4 months. This is like a March-April time now. 4 months. 4 months that these men come and give devastating news about their home place, their stomping grounds, that's devastated. And it ripped Nehemiah up. And yet for 4 months, nothing happened at all. Now I want to tell you, 4 months in a lifetime, how long is that compared to life? Hardly anything. 4 months with devastating news is a long time. You know, Nehemiah probably went from hour to hour. What's going to happen? What do I do? God, do you have something for me? And in Nehemiah chapter 1, you read Nehemiah going to the Lord and saying, God, what? What's going to happen? What do we got to do? How? You said, and he's going to God's promises, you said this, and what? And did God work like he did with Ruth? Not yet. Nothing happened the next day. And it didn't happen the next day, or the next day, or the next day. It didn't happen the next week, or the following week, or the next week. In fact, it didn't happen the next month, or the next month. And it took 4 months. It took 4 months, and all that we know in Nehemiah chapter 1 is what? What did he do? He prayed to the Lord. God, there's a need. And yet he went for 4 months of silence. And yet one day, in March and April, he's walking in just as he did every day. And the king says, what's wrong? Something's bothering. It was almost like God says, okay, Nehemiah, it's now time. It's now time. And he explained the situation back home. Nehemiah, I'm asking you, what are you asking me? What do you have to ask? Step back, Nehemiah. Did I hear that right? 4 months I've been wondering what God was going to do, and now the king is saying, Nehemiah, what is your request? I'll tell you what, 4 months of silence, and one beautiful day of God says, okay, it's time. Let me ask you a question. Had God prepared the king? He did. Because Nehemiah makes his request, you know what the king said? Go for it. It's yours. The woods, permission. Go for it. I'm going to send you. Tremendous, folks. You see, it was a blessing that Nehemiah, at the end of verse 4, chapter 2, you know, he shot up one of those arrow prayers and says, God, I need you right now. I'm about to speak to the king. But folks, it was backed up with 4 months of getting alone with the Lord, saying, God, we need something. And there was lots of silence. Lots of silence. But I ask you the question, was God leading with Nehemiah? Was he? What about those days in which Nehemiah heard nothing? He was. Did God stop working? Did God forget Nehemiah? Did God forget Jerusalem and Israel? No, but he was preparing because I'll tell you what, he had to, you know what? Sennacherib had to be prepared or he would never have agreed to it. But God had done the work and got him ready, and it took that 4 months to get everybody and all the pieces of the puzzle put together so that there, now's your time. What a blessing, folks. You see, when God is working, when you're going through areas in your life and you're saying, I don't hear anything, I don't see anything, has God gone? What's going on? Didn't you do this? We go back to God's promises and say, God, you said that you would do this, and I'm claiming those promises, and I'm trusting that you are going to come through. God will always be our leader. God will always be our guide. I ask you the question, is God still leading with Ruth and Boaz here? Oh, he is. Let's look at verse 7. Now this was the matter in former time in Israel concerning redeeming. This is kind of a funny part of the story. And concerning changing. For to confirm all things. What was the purpose of this little thing that they do? To confirm all things. It's there. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. Kind of a funny little thing to do. Okay, we're going to make this agreement. Let's confirm this. There you go. A shoe. Obviously meant a whole lot more than what it would do today. If I did it to you, you'd throw it away probably. So what do I have to do with this? And this was the testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders, and he holds, I don't know if he's holding up the shoe, and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Is God still leading? Confirmation. Don't you love confirmation? I love confirmation. You know, we may think that God is silent and waiting, maybe not doing anything. But God is constantly in work in each one of our lives, and he will do that work until it's finished. Philippians 1:6 is being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He started it at salvation, and he's going to complete that day, that salvation in Jesus Christ. God started something with you. He's not going to just end it. He's not going to forget. In all of the ups and downs and the yeses and the nos, he was still and is still on the throne, always leading. And some people claim that they're in spiritual darkness, and I'm not talking about being away from the Lord. It's just that they don't see, Lord, I haven't seen the Lord. He's not doing anything. He doesn't hear me. He's not listening. Seems like David had some of those thoughts at times in his life, didn't he? God, are you there? Do you hear what's going on? Would you act quickly? When are you going to come, God? But we're never in spiritual darkness because God is always there. Psalm 48, verse 14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." He will be our guide even unto death. There's not a day that he misses, not a moment that he misses, not an hour that he misses, never a moment. Isaiah 42:16 says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and forsake, not forsake them." You see, God is always working. The fact is that though God may seem silent, he's not. Every step of the way, as we've even looked at these verses, I ask you the question, was God working? He was. Through the positive, through the negative, God's always had that light, and he was leading and guiding Ruth, Naomi. Think about Naomi's situation. She basically cursed God and blamed God for everything in life, and yet God didn't even forget about Naomi. He's working. He's thinking about Boaz. He's thinking about Ruth. Who else was God thinking about? David? Jesus? And if he was thinking about Jesus, who was he thinking about? Me. That's our good God. You see, God's got you in mind in everything that goes on. And this we know. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. My friends, I trust that you'll be encouraged. You might be going through a time of silence, whatever request that may be. But God is working. Be assured of it. God is working. He's doing his work. It's not silent. Take it. Let the things come. And just like you answered here tonight, is God working? What's the answer? What about your situation? Is God working? He is. You say, Pastor, why is it so slow? Because God's got a time for everything, and it's the perfect time. And as I was talking with somebody else, they reminded me about the passage concerning the coming Messiah, which says, in the fullness of time, speaking of Jesus. You see, why didn't the Messiah come back during the times of Joshua and Judges and even David and some of the, you know, Isaiah? Well, because God had a perfect time. Perfect time. And all along, was he setting up Israel? Was he setting up this and that and getting everything perfectly ready for the Messiah? He was. And God's doing the same thing in your life too. He's getting us ready. He's getting them ready. He's getting this situation prepared. He's looking to this. He's putting together the pieces of the puzzle so in the right time, that puzzle piece will be put in. And you know what all of us will say when that last piece is put in? Praise the Lord. We ought to. But you see, when every piece is put in, we ought to be saying, praise the Lord. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this good lesson that we can learn from Ruth, Boaz, Naomi, Elimelech. Bad situations turned into good. Impossible situations turned into possibilities. And now Boaz says, as a sign, and a token to all the people that are around, he holds up the shoe and says, she's mine. God, thank you. Lord, there are some of us who are asking the question, God, when are you going to do this? Am I wrong? We go back and we start to question things that you've already shown us, told us, promised us. And We start to doubt and fear and worry and second guess and come up with plan B. And Lord, and you've just called us to trust in you and wait patiently, and you'll bring it to pass. Lord, help us. Lord, I thank you for being our leader and our guide. Lord, may we be faithful and just wait. Just wait. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.